May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. You may be seated. Over the last few weeks of this green season, our epistle readings have been from the book of Ephesians, which happens to be one of my favorites among Paul's epistles. In some of the most beautiful language in the Bible, Paul meditates on just how over the top God's love and grace towards us really is. You see, God started off the process when we were still his enemies by choosing us in Christ to be his children. And in spite of the fact that we were entirely undeserving of his grace, God chose to reconcile us to himself through Jesus' redeeming death and resurrection. Moreover, even though we were also enemies of each other, God has now broken down the walls of hostility that we had erected between ourselves. And now, if that's not enough, God has decided to bless us superabundantly by lavishing on us all his riches of mercy, pointing forward to that day when we will, at the wedding feast of the Lamb, experience the fullness of joy in his presence. And that's just the first three chapters of the book. And having introduced such amazing doctrines in the first half of the book, St. Paul then turns to exhorting the Ephesian believers and us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called at the beginning of chapter 4. Once we were lost and separated from God, but now we are called to live our lives in a way that reflects not only what God has done in us, but also what he continues to do in and through us. Now, Paul breaks this manner of walking down into several different ways of walking in the second half of the letter. At the beginning of chapter 5, in a passage we didn't hear read to us, he tells us to walk in love with each other, that is, seeking to preserve that unity and peace which God has produced in us, to bear with one another, to forgive each other, just as we have been forgiven in Christ Jesus. Then Paul goes on to tell us to walk in light. Once we were as dark as the world around us is when we were unbelievers. But now that we're children of God, we're also children of light. That is to say, we're to turn away from those sinful habits we once had and to live lives that are righteous and glorifying to God. We're especially to avoid impurity and other fornication and things of that sort, things that are so rife, frankly, in the culture around us today. All those sorts of things, Paul tells us, should not even be mentioned among you. Nor, he says, should there be obscene talk or coarse joking. Now, after all that, we finally get to the passage we heard today in the epistle. We're to walk in love and walk in light, and now we are told we're to walk in wisdom. Although our culture is full of evil and wickedness, we are called to be pure lights in the darkness. But if we're to know how to make the most of every opportunity to live radically good lives in the middle of this evil world, we need God's wisdom. Now, we don't really seem to talk much about wisdom and foolishness these days, do we? I mean, I have a PhD from Cambridge. I'm involved in higher education, teaching in seminaries. I naturally think, dare I say it, about intelligence, about knowledge, about skill and ability. But you know, wisdom doesn't come up as a course objective all that often. We don't seem to find it in manuals about how to be a better teacher. You should be wise. Basically, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to real-world problems and come up with practical, workable solutions. When confronted with options, wisdom is what allows us to decide between them. One synonym that you might use for wisdom might be plain, old-fashioned common sense. Many cultures around the world pass down nuggets of folk wisdom in proverbs. I've just been living in Africa, so I picked up a few. In Mali, a friend tells me, there's a proverb, when you break camp, don't poo in the middle of it. It's really not that different from our don't burn your bridges, you know? In Zambia, a friend tells me that they have a saying, he who prays for rain prays for mud. True indeed. Good things sometimes have undesirable side effects. You know, and sometimes proverbs come in seemingly opposite pairs. Take, you know, our two familiar English sayings, he who hesitates is lost, and look before you leap. You know, one tells us to go ahead and act quickly now. The other urges caution. You know, each is good advice, but it depends on the situation. Sometimes, unless you act now, an opportunity will pass you by. But in other situations, unless you stop and think carefully about what you're about to do, you may suffer disastrous consequences. Wisdom is what helps us figure out which is better advice in the present moment. But there's something more to biblical wisdom, godly wisdom, than just being able to make good choices in any given situation. The book of Proverbs in the first chapter tells us that the foundation of wisdom, the beginning point of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. Just having good old-fashioned common sense without also having the guidance and empowerment of the Lord is not enough. We read as well in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So, unless we begin by loving God and relying on him to direct our actions, we will fail. We will neither have wisdom, nor will we be able to do those good works that we mean to do. Now, getting back to Ephesians, Paul tells us in verse 17 of chapter 5 that if we seek God's wisdom, we will know what his will is. What is God's will? Well, sometimes we think about God's will like, who should I marry? Or, you know, what school should I go to? Or should I take this job? I'm not suggesting that if we, you know, seek God first, God will supernaturally reveal to us, shall we say, the street number of the house we're supposed to buy and the verse reference of the first verse you point to. That's not the kind of will of God, I think, that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 5. Stepping back, in the big picture, what is the will of God? In his first epistle to the Thessalonians, in chapter 4, Paul says simply, this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, God's will is for us, day by day, to have our thoughts and actions conform more closely to Christ. In other words, God's will is that we walk worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Now, I'm afraid it's very easy when we hear exhortations like this to think that all we need to do is to keep trying harder to be better people. As if we must be good for goodness sake because God's like Santa, keeping a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out if you're naughty or nice. Well, no. Sometimes we think as if we could ingratiate ourselves with God by doing good things. But that, my friends, is not the gospel. The truth is that however hard we try to be better in our own strength, we are not capable of walking worthy of the calling to which we have been called. We are not capable of walking in wisdom. You see, the gospel is that in spite of our sinfulness and our own incapacity, God loves us enough to have begun the process of transforming us into creatures who are able to please him. It's just that God isn't finished with us yet. So Paul does urge us to try to live lives pleasing to God. We're not just supposed to give up and do whatever we want and let God pick up the pieces. You know, the culture around us says, if it feels good, do it. Instead, I suggest to you the call of God is, if it is good, do it. It's just that when we try to walk in the good works God has set out for us, we must only attempt to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Unless we're relying on God to give us the strength, and for that matter, even the desire to do what pleases him, unless we're relying on God to give us the joy and perseverance we need to carry it through, we will fail miserably to do the good we set out to do. Now, are you like me? Have you ever had the experience of trying really, really hard not to sin that particular sin that you've been struggling with for years and years and years? I mean, it could be something like gossip, or grumbling, or being too quick to get angry. It might be something less socially acceptable that I will not mention from the pulpit. You probably can think of several. I know I can. Well, how are we doing in that fight? I mean, if you're anything like me, it seems the harder I try not to sin in my particular ways of sinning, the greater the temptations get, and it seems inevitably to me, I stumble and sin again. Now, the real answer, the gospel, is not just to buckle down and try harder, darn it. The gospel is to walk in the Spirit, to seek the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, to help us win this battle against our old selves that continue to love sin so much. Paul hints at this in Ephesians 5:18 when he says, "Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instead of just giving up ourselves to pleasure and escapism, we should surrender ourselves to the guidance and empowering of the Holy Spirit. Our only hope to be pleasing and righteous in God's eyes is by daily relying on the Spirit to give us the grace and the strength to say no to sin and yes to God. But what does this living in the power of the Holy Spirit look like? In Romans 8, St. Paul describes one aspect of living in the Spirit. He says, "Those who live in the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live in the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So, what do we spend our time thinking about? Do we think a lot about sinful or worldly things? Or do we think about God and holy things? And what do we do when temptation comes? Do we feebly try to resist by ourselves? Just don't do it. Just don't do it. And inevitably lose the internal battle? Or do we turn in prayer to God and ask for strength and help? Do we surround ourselves with faithful believers who will encourage us as we learn to love God together? Or do we only think about the things of God on Sunday morning and the rest of the week turn outward? Paul also gives us another line of defense in our epistle reading. In verses 19 and 20, he tells us to sing hymns and spiritual songs to the Lord and in our hearts, and to give thanks in everything. Now, you might ask, what help is singing songs and giving thanks? Have you ever noticed how your attitude can change really, really quickly if you stop grumbling or worrying and actually look for reasons to thank God, it's amazing the difference it makes. Have you ever felt the encouragement of a good hymn or the words of a psalm that come to mind in a dark moment? You know, I'm amazed by how much more easily I can memorize words when I sing them. Well, I've spent a lot of my life singing in church choirs, so I guess songs really stick with me. But the words of hymns that I've sung over and over stick really deeply. And I find they come to mind at very appropriate times. I can remember times that I've been really scared, and all of a sudden I find myself singing, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our God while night shall last, and our eternal home. I mean, the words just come. Or a mighty fortress is our God. Very handy words for this week when we remember the 500th anniversary of Luther nailing his theses to the door. It's amazing how good words, scriptural words, hymns, songs, spiritual songs can come out of us at just the right moment. So, why not give singing to yourself a try? People might think you're a bit crazy, but who cares if you're serving the Lord? Make thankfulness a habit. See what difference it can make. So to wrap up, Paul calls us to live lives that are pleasing and holy before God. But we can only do that if we make wise choices in the middle of an increasingly perverse culture. And we can only have such wisdom when we choose to rely first on God for the help that we need. St. James tells us in his epistle, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all things richly, and it will be given to you. So, my brothers and sisters, let us seek to walk worthy of that calling to which we have been called by walking in the wisdom that God and God alone can supply us, so that, according to God's riches and glory, he may grant us to be strengthened by his Spirit in our inner self, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love, in order that we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, indeed to know the very love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, in order that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now let us pray. Precede us, O Lord, in all our doings with thy most gracious favor, and further us with thy continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in thee, we may glorify thy holy name, and finally, by thy mercy, obtain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.